Thank you, worship team. You're a blessing, tremendous blessing. I forgot to mention our communication cards earlier, but you should have one in your seat, particularly if you have a special prayer concern that you would like for the church to pray for. You can put those on the communication cards, and we will definitely pray for your requests. Also, if you're visiting with us, and we'd like to get to know you a little better, and sometimes it helps me so I don't have to ask your name about 63 times. If you would write your name down on a communication card and leave that with us as you leave the sanctuary today. So it's good to be back with you. We are talking about working through, and I don't know how long this series will be. The title of the series is, For Heaven's Sake, What Are You Doing? For Heaven's Sake, What Are You Doing? And we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that God has given us to edify one another, to edify the body of Christ. And every child of God has at least one spiritual gift. Hopefully through this series, you will if you don't already know what your gift is, you will discover what your gift is. So today we're going to be talking about the gift of faith. The gift of faith. I want us to begin with reading a Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And if you would, let's stand for the reading of God's word. This will not be our focal passage, so I may have you read or stand again here in a few minutes. But this is a good passage to jump off on. So this scripture says, Rena, it's good to have you back with us. I said it's good to have you back. And Christy, it's good to have you with us this morning. We've got another Christy in the house this morning. And so good to have you with us this morning, too. It says, For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt each one of us a measure of faith. Oh, we need to read that again?
Yes.
All right, let's read it again.
Yes,
like we mean it. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Thank you. You may be seated. Did you know that God has given every person a measure of faith?
Yes.
That's what this passage of Scripture says. That God has given to each person a measure of faith. Just like he's given to each of us an ear, or an eye, or a foot, a tongue. Some of us have hair. He's given to each one a measure of faith, just as he has given those other parts of the body. So everybody who's ever been born, and who will ever be born, has been given a measure of faith. Now, do you think he's given atheists a measure of faith? What about evolutionists? They have a lot of something. God has given everyone a measure of faith. What we do with that faith will depend a lot on how well our life goes, not in just here on earth, but the future life as well. Now, what you do with your faith in Jesus Christ is paramount to your life, period. God has given everyone enough faith to trust in Jesus. He's given everyone enough faith to trust in Jesus. And so I want to ask you, what have you done with that faith? Where have you placed the faith that God has given you? I hope that every single person here has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, because that's the only reason for the faith initially. There's more to come after that. But if you don't know Jesus, I want you to know before this day is over, I'm going to give you an invitation to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay? Now, God has given everyone a gift of faith. But the second thing I want you to notice is that Father has given some people a supernatural ability of faith to edify the body of Christ and to accomplish His work. This is the spiritual gift of faith. Now we're going to stand and read 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Okay? And I will read this to you because sometimes it's hard for a long passage for us all just to kind of stay together. And sometimes we are concentrating on staying together more than we are what it says. So I want you to listen. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Father, I come before You today. And Lord, I thank You that Your Spirit is here. I thank You that You're wanting to do something in our hearts and lives today, and I pray that every heart will be open to You, myself included. And Lord, as I delve into Your Word, there's more and more and more that You reveal, and there's more I feel convicted about. And so, Lord, today, this is Your day. And Lord, we want You to be glorified. We want Your will to be accomplished in each person that's here present, as well as those who are watching through Zoom, and those who will be listening to the recording later on in the week. Lord, we pray that Your power be manifest. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, the gift of faith, or the supernatural ability of faith, is to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God is faithful, and He will do what He says He's going to do. Individuals with faith know what God is up to in their own personal lives and sometimes in the lives of others, and they're able to speak in such a way that it's going to edify the body of Christ, build the body of Christ up, to cause the body of Christ to grow. Now, they have the ability to read God's Word and the ability to understand what God's Word says and apply it to their lives. And they also have the ability to hear God's voice and to move when God says move, doing what He tells them to do. They have this. So, this word we have is the Logos. Okay. The reason I'm hesitating is because I had a scripture passage in here that I was looking for, and hopefully I did not leave it out. So we're going to just go with this, okay? So this is the Logos. It's the written word. And a person of faith can read God's word, and probably as you have read God's word, there's times when the word of God just kind of jumps out at you, like it's highlighted for you, and it's like, oh, that word is for me. I know that I can receive that, I can pray that, I can live that, and God is going to manifest that in my life. Okay? So you're reading God's word, and it becomes real. It becomes life to you. The word rhema is a word that is spoken to our heart. Now, the word that's spoken to our heart will never contradict what God says in His word. But it may be something, a direction that God has given you. It may be a way that you should be praying for someone. It may be something that the Lord has for the body to edify the body. All of it, there will never be, well, the Lord told me to tell you, you're just a piece of crap. Okay? Well, guess what? You got a problem. Because that would never be from the Lord. There are some things that the Lord shares with us to share with others that may be hard to share. But it's never going to be downgrading. It's always going to be uplifting. Okay? These individuals who have a supernatural ability of faith know what God is saying and is able to move on what God has spoken to their heart. Matthew shared last week about a fellow by the name of George Mueller. And he was, if anyone ever looked for a fellow of faith, a one who had a supernatural ability of faith, it would be George Mueller, who started these orphanages and back in the 1800s for children who were just destitute. And tens of thousands of kids came through his orphanages, and he never asked for any money from anyone. He never solicited any funds from anyone. He just prayed and asked God, Lord, supply the need. That's supernatural faith. He knew what God wanted, and where God guides, He will always provide. Say that with me. Where God guides, He will always provide. Say it again. Where God guides, He will always provide. Now, faith is not just fantasizing about something that you would like to have. That's not what faith is. Faith is not hoping for a miracle. That's not what faith is. Faith is knowing in your heart what God is saying and being able to move on what God is saying. When I told you some weeks ago, a few months ago, that we needed to start a school here, it was like everybody's heart was like, yes, this is it. This is God's plan. Did you know that that's an act of faith? Do you know how that's going to come about? Faith. Just walking it out. We didn't know 3 months ago or 4 months ago that we would have a school today. We didn't know that. But because of faith, we've been able to embrace that and walk in it. And I'm excited about where God's going to take us with that. Faith is receiving a revelation through God's written word or God's spoken word and moving on what God says. The third thing I want you to notice regarding faith, so though faith is a measure of faith is given to everyone, and though there's a supernatural ability of faith given to some in God's kingdom, everyone can grow in faith. greater faith can be developed by all. Look at this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. So Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, I hope that your faith will grow. So it's possible for our faith to grow. As a young child of God, maybe our faith isn't that great. But as we grow in our relationship with Christ, and as we grow in our ability to read and understand God's word, the idea is that our faith will grow. And Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, I want your faith to grow. The problem with the Corinthian church often, a lot of them, is that their faith was very minuscule. They had never grown from infancy. How do we increase our faith? Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. If we're going to be talking about faith, and if we're going to be talking about growing in faith, hopefully that's something that all of us want to do. Hopefully that's something that you want in your own personal life, that your faith will grow. I know for myself, I want my faith to grow. How does our faith increase? Colossians 2, 7 says, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So the first way that you allow your faith to grow is have not a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, receiving him into your heart, but also developing a stronger relationship with him. Okay? Because you're not going to have the faith you need I trusted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior back in 1978. Or back in 1998. And that's as far as you go. Your faith needs to develop stronger. And in order to do that, this scripture says that your lives must be grounded in him. Your lives must be rooted in him. And we're talking about relationship. We're talking about fellowship. Fellowship in his word. Fellowship through prayer. As you learn to pray and as you learn to read God's word and as you learn to accept God's word, what happens is that your faith will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. The first thing that needs to happen, though, is that we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Because if we miss that, then we will never grow in faith. We will always be anemic. A second way that we grow in faith is by reading and following God's word. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come? And hearing the word of God. Now listen to me. A lot of us can hear a lot of other things that are not God's word. So let me ask you a question. When you're listening to the news, does that build your faith? Yeah. That's right. Help, Lord. So the things we listen to, the people we listen to, the things we read, the things that we adhere to will either build our faith or either it will put us in a panic mode. It will cause stress. It will cause anxiety. It will cause fear. The thing that we think about will either cause growth in our faith, growth in our lives, or it will cause us to doubt and fear and be in confusion. How many of you would like to grow in faith? Okay, that's all of us. But here's what Scripture says. If you are not growing in the Word of God, if you're not digesting the Word of God, you're not going to grow in faith. And you wonder, why is it that so many Christians are anemic? Why is it that so many Christians are sick spiritually? Why is it that we are living in a day, in an age when people are turning, many people are turning away from God than they are turning to God, and many people are living in fear and anxiety and stress and worry? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, when you're reading that passage of Scripture, I told you that the Word is either logos or rhema. Logos is the written word. Rhema is the spoken word. So what do you think this word is translated? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the, is either logos or rhema of God. Actually, it's translated rhema. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But it's again, this is the logos. Rhema is the spoken Word of God. And here's what I know, that every single one of you hear God. You may not know it. You may not know it's God. But when you hear God's Word, Scripture says to take captive every thought and bring it under the submission of Jesus Christ. So this is what I understand that passage to mean. When you have a thought, think about it. Where did this come from? It can either come from God or Satan or self. If it comes from God, as you think about it, then you need to act on it. If you act on it, then there's going to be a faith that's built in you, because it's kind of like building a trust in someone. And the more you hear them, and the more you listen to them, and the more you apply what they say, you'll either know whether they're truthful or whether they're untruthful. And so as you begin to build this track record with God, the more you hear Him and the more you follow what He does, the more faith is built in you, because if you follow what He does, then things go. I start to say things go well. They don't always go well. Sometimes, for instance, Moses was told to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, and then there was a big rock, wall of water, or a big sea of water, and it's like, oh man, I must have heard God wrong. Sometimes there are obstacles in the way. And just because God leads you in a way does not mean that there's not going to be obstacles. But what it does mean is that if you keep praying, keep listening, God will remove the obstacles so you can continue going the path that God would have you go. Okay? If you give up hope every time there's an obstacle, then you're not going to go very far in your Christian walk. But you need to know that you know that you know that you know what God says. And then do as He says in going forward. A lot of times, and I can speak from experience, I've always had a heart, as far as I can remember, I've always had a heart to do what God wanted me to do. It's always been my heart. And so sometimes God would give me an idea and I'd just take off running with it, forgetting to ask him what the next step is. And I've been in a lot of trouble because I didn't ask him what's the next step. I just, okay, God, I'm going to do it because you told me to do it. And that's not the way he works. His working is, okay, now I want to show you how to do it. I want to show you the next step. I want to show you the next step. I want to show you the next step. Learn to listen and learn to obey. Don't get ahead of him, but for sure don't get behind him. Okay? Don't get behind him. Don't fall back. Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is possible to grow in faith, right? Relationship with Jesus through prayer, Bible study, it's possible. And so what happens to a believer who refuses to grow in faith? What happens to a believer who refuses to grow in faith? First thing we find out is that we will never become a mature follower of Christ. We will always be infants needing somebody. And we always need each other, but I'm saying we never grow up in our faith. Now, 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, God's word, how many of you have ever had to take care of a baby? Okay. And what happens when they get hungry for milk? They'll let you know it. They're craving it. They want it. They desire it. And they're going to let you know that they have this desire for the milk. Now, Scripture says, Paul says, or Peter says, as newborn babes, when you first come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you should desire the milk of the Word. Just like a newborn baby desires milk. You need to desire it. You need to hunger for it. You need to go after it. You need to read it. You need to get it in your heart. As newborn babes desire the milk of the Word. But we don't need to stay babies always. So Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews tells us this. I don't know who the audience of Hebrews was. I hope it wasn't Life Change. Could have been. Okay, could be. But this is what he says. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So here's the deal. If we don't start feasting on the word of God, believing and moving on what God says, we will become anemic. We become spiritually sick. We will never grow up to maturity. And I'm not talking about being legalistic. That's not what I'm talking about. You can be as legal as a Pharisee and be so immature that you stink. Okay? So that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is growing up in faith. Accept it. Believe it. And walk in it. Verse 14 says that we are to, it says in verse 14, solid food belongs to those who are full age. By reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Say exercised. Many of us don't like that word. But Scripture says, exercise obedience. Exercise obedience. The more you exercise obedience, the greater your faith will become. So when the Lord reveals something to you, the second thing we discover for a person who refuses to grow in faith, when the Lord reveals something to you and you refuse to believe, then you develop a hard heart. Listen to these passages. In Mark 3, 4 through 5, so let me just kind of give you a background. Every Sabbath, Jesus would go to synagogue. Okay, he'd go to church. That was his custom. And one day, as he was at church, he saw a man with a withered hand, and he said to the guy, hey, stretch out your hand. And the guy stretched out his hand. When he stretched it out, his hand became whole. The Pharisees who were there, the religious leaders, they got ticked off at Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath day, and you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. So they were ticked off. And do you know what? Jesus got ticked off at them. Listen to what it says here in this passage. In verse 5, and when he looked at them with anger, did you know Jesus got angry? And when he looked at them with anger, he was grieved by the hardness of their hearts. He was grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Why were they hard-hearted? Because they would not believe. They would not believe. Another passage of Scripture in Mark 8. So, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 5 biscuits and 2 sardines. Okay? 5,000 people, 5 biscuits, and 2 sardines. Jesus approaches his disciples and he says to them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Basically, be careful of what these religious leaders are telling you. And the disciples said, well, he must be talking about, we only have, between the 12 of us, we only have 1 loaf of bread. So he must be telling us we should have brought more food. And Jesus is like, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? So do you see the connection between unbelief and hardness of heart? Listen, it's vital that we remember what Jesus did for us. It's vital for your own spiritual growth so that you don't get a hard heart. It's vital that you remember, because oftentimes we forget. When hard times come, when difficult times come, we forget. God says, don't harden your heart. Listen. Don't forget. And if you have to write it down and refer to it in the past, again, write a journal. That's basically what this is a journal of people's faith walk. Read it. Read your own journal. There were some ladies who were the first ones who saw Jesus rise from the dead. I mean, they saw him after his resurrection. They were excited, they were thrilled, and they went and told the disciples, Jesus is alive! Jesus is alive! Jesus is alive! And you know what the disciples did? You're crazy. That's what they said. And then in Mark 16:14, after he appeared to the 11 disciples, as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. How can you be a disciple of Christ and have a hard heart? Because you don't believe. Ephesians 4:17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. So he's telling us here, if we as children of God choose to walk in sensuality, in pornography, and lust, and greed, and fantasies of the mind, we want more money, more stuff, more toys, more the world has to give us, then we are walking as unbelievers. We don't have a mind set on the things of God, and when we have our mind set on the things of the world, we begin to have a hard heart. Listen to this passage. Psalm 95:7-8. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Israel resisted God because they were going through a lot of trials. There were some dark days in Israel's life. And it was like this seesaw. One day they would trust the Lord because he did some marvelous things for them, and the next day they would go through struggles, and they'd say, where is our God? Where is that God that Moses talks about? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never promises you will not go through difficult times. I want to ask you a question. Do you have the supernatural gift of faith? God has just granted you this ability just to believe him regardless of what everybody else says. And you're able to walk in it. You're able to pursue that. Another question, do you know Jesus? Have you exercised that faith that he has given you, has given each person a measure of, and have you stepped out and said, Jesus, I'm trusting you as my personal Lord and Savior? If not, I'm going to encourage you by the Word of God that you step out and trust him today. Are you growing in faith? Is your faith the same today as it was when you first came to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you growing in faith? And the last question, do you have a hard heart because of unbelief? You've believed lies instead of truth. Perhaps your heart is set on the things of the world, things that can never satisfy, rather than upon God. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to repent. If that's the case, if you feel like you have a hard heart, that you've not grown in faith, that you are the same person you were right after you came to know Christ, there's no evidence of growth in your life, would you ask the Lord to forgive you, because there's probably a hard heart. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. And these are some questions I'm going to as we partake of this, Scripture says that we need to test our hearts. We need to ask some hard questions of ourselves, that we need to judge ourselves so that we can take of the Lord's Supper in a proper manner. The disciples were meeting together and partaking of the Lord's Supper, and Jesus, before he took the Passover meal, if any of you do not have the elements, let us know and we'll get that to you. Anyone else? All right, there's a little cellophane top that needs to be torn off before you tear off the gold top. Scripture says that Jesus blessed the bread. And so, Father, I come before you today, and Lord, there's some things that you've convicted me of as I was reading through the book of Mark a few weeks ago that kept coming up. If you don't believe, unbelief, hardness of heart, unbelief, hardness of heart. And Lord, there's been many things that I've had to repent for regarding unbelief. So Lord, I pray that you would share with me and anyone else in this room areas of unbelief that we need to repent of so that we can get our hearts right with you. Lord, I know that you want to carry us further than we are right now. And Lord, I don't want unbelief to stop us. And Lord, we need more faith. We need more life. We need more of you. And God, no matter the darkness around us, you are greater than the darkness. And so, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And ask, O Lord, that you would bless this, your broken body, as we partake. Allow it to minister to us physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture says he took the cup and he blessed it. Then he gave it to his disciples. And so, Father, again, we come before you. And, Lord, this is symbolic, Jesus, of your blood shed for us to take away the sins of the world, to take away our sins personally. And so, Lord, we thank you for that gift to us, redemption, salvation, cleansing. And we give you praise and glory and honor. And again, I pray that your blessings would be upon us as we partake of this. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward. And as they come, perhaps, and as they sing, perhaps the Lord has laid on your heart some things that you need to get right with him. And I'm going to invite you to come and just kneel here at the steps or come and talk to me. Maybe you're here without Christ and you want to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but you don't really know what to do regarding that. I'll be here to help you with that as well. Or you can go to one of our leaders in the church. Let's stand together as we sing.